back to episode 111 of Talk of Fame podcast with your host, Kelly Montigny. I'm so excited to have on former offensive lineman for the University of Southern Carolina and actor Cyrus Hobby. Thanks so much for coming on, Cyrus.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on. And you said Southern Carolina, Southern California.
Southern California. Oh my God. I keep getting that mixed up.
I have to throw it in because people are going to be like, what? He went where?
Yeah, I keep getting it mixed up. Oh my gosh. Like, even though it's one of my top schools, I still keep getting it messed up.
I get it.
Okay, so before, you are a former offensive lineman for University of Southern Carolina. California. Oh my God.
We could just say USC.
USC, sure. Yeah. So what made you decide to pursue your football career at USC than other D1 schools?
So in high school, I used to be pretty good at football, and I hate being that guy, but I was so sweet in high school. But I had a lot of offers, mainly West Coast schools, and USC. So I'm from Arizona. I was really close to going to ASU because that's home, you know. And USC, there's a part of me that knew I wanted to do acting. I don't think it was fully fledged out, but I always enjoyed performance. I always loved movies and the art of, like, actors that make you feel like, it's crazy to me that you can watch things and people make you feel emotions, you know. So USC, when I visited, I was like, you know, obviously, too, their football program was really high at the time, too. Mm-hmm. They were on suspensions and stuff, so a lot of guys didn't want to go to USC. But, like, kid from Arizona, I was like, oh, man, I can go here, play football at a high level, and then also get to study what I want to study, which was drama and theater. So USC kind of, as much as I was debating a lot of their schools, USC just kind of floated to the top.
Yeah, did you always kind of picture yourself going to USC, or you like pictured yourself like at different other schools as well? Because obviously USC's in California, and obviously California weather is pretty amazing. So it's like, and plus Arizona is not that far from California, right? So it's obviously a little easier for you.
Definitely did not. Oh, I actually didn't get off on the right foot with USC. The coach, when I visited, the coaches were all, they like just got sanctions slapped down on them, so, and I visited them at that time, so I kind of got off to a rough start with them. I actually was like in UCLA, don't tell anybody, that for a while, because, you know, to your point, California, you know, being an Arizona guy, I was like, the weather's pretty good out there. Arizona's gorgeous in the winter, but the summers are just freaking brutal, and I love Arizona. It's an underrated place, but it wasn't even about necessarily, I think it was more the program and more the just making sure that I'm not making a purely football decision, because at that time, you know, you're talking to a young 17, 18 year old kid that's really, really engulfed in football, just thinking, oh, I'm going to be in the NFL, I'm going to do all these things. Luckily, I had good guidance around me, my family and coaches and friends that were like, you know, make sure you look at the big picture. Take everything into account. So I had time. I got recruited early in high school too, by like sophomore year. I was fortunate enough for that. So it let me get to like really think about things in perspective. Like, okay, what do you really want to do in life? You know, not, I know football right now you think is what you're going to do, but like in case, not even in case it doesn't work out, just like you need to have a bigger repertoire than just banging your head against other grown men.
Yeah, exactly. And like at that age, like obviously I'm a sophomore right now, and like I'm thinking myself, I'm already thinking about like what I want to do in college, and I'm only a sophomore in high school. And even people are like, oh my God, it's too early, but it's never too early to think about college. Like you said, you got recruited in your sophomore year. Like, yeah. How did that like process come about in terms of kind of figure out like what you want to do in college and what you want to pursue in the future? Because obviously for me, I am like kind of like figure myself out. I'm like, what do I want to do? Like, I have an idea, but I'm like, okay, like, do I actually want to pursue this?
I still don't really know what I'm trying to do. No, I'm just, you're at a perfect, you know, sophomore year. And like, for me, at least, like I loved high school. I know not everybody has great high school memories. I have great high school memories. Sophomore year, those middle years are fun. Sophomore, junior year, because you're like, you're not fresh and you're not leaving yet. So you're still like, I feel like you're kind of, you know, molding and figuring out who you are at those times. Yeah. And I know I certainly was. I mean, obviously football was something that was a big part of my life, but I think over those 2 years, I took some theater classes. I knew I liked movies, so there was this little thing in me that was like, there's another world within you that you want to be into. I just, it's hard to, I don't think you're going to figure out what you want to do. And you don't need to figure out what you want to do the rest of your life. I think you just want to figure out like what can I at least, what would I at least like to challenge myself with? Go, and that comes with like thinking about a school, or if you want to move out of state, if you want to move down the street, or a subject. It's like, what challenge do I want to take on? Because you'll come out better whether you su succeed or fail. Those words are thrown around a lot, but it's like, I think you just, yeah, I don't know. Now I'm babbling on, but.
Yeah, so like while in high school, you were first team All American, first team All Region, and first team All City as a junior and senior. Like, what were the kind of the biggest obstacles you had to achieve in terms of winning those awards and becoming a better player?
Ooh, well, Arizona is I the football scene in Arizona is amazing now. I mean, when I was going, it was amazing too, but now it's really become a hot spot. People from California or the South might give me crap, but one of the things that I'm thankful that I did those years that challenged me was going against the best talent. And that's something I stress to everybody that's want a football player. If I'm doing acting now or anything you're doing, you should definitely be surrounded by the best people. Like, look at people that you admire or whatever. Try to get on. I mean, so for football, for example, I went to this camp. This is actually sophomore year, and but junior year too. And I went to this camp in New Jersey, and it was like the best guys from all around the country. And you go, and maybe you win or maybe you lose, but you get to see where you're at, and then you get better. Because like, if I just stayed in there, like, kicking butt because I'm bigger than everybody and just like putting guys like you're not, it might make me feel good, maybe I'll get some offers. But I think what really got me the high level schools like USC and some of these things was going against the best athletes and going against the best people on the field. And again, that's true for football, but I think that's something that, don't be scared or like whatever by people that if somebody scares you, that's like a good thing. You should like gravitate to not I'm talking about in the sense of like competing and challenging yourself. You should gravitate towards that because there's something in you that wants to overcome that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, how did you kind of come to the decision and kind of to quit football and to pursue acting? Because like you said, like you always liked acting and you played football in high school. Like, how did you come to kind of the decision to kind of quit football and pursue acting?
Well, football's a rough sport, beats you up. It's pretty my back did not handle. I was a big boy too, by the way. I was like 100 pounds heavier than I am now. A lot of hits to the head. So it was really a combination. My freshman year at USC, I had a really cool acting class, acting 101, and it was with a great teacher, Doug Tompos. And I remember doing a scene in that class. And when we were done, and we've been working on it for weeks, like all these things, like I didn't really, acting was just, I was just kind of doing it. I got done with this scene, super emotional scene. Everybody in the class was crying. We were all crying. And I just was like, whoa, that was kind of a cool feeling. And I was feeling a little guilty because I'm there to play football. But I was like, I kind of like that feeling a little more. And then slowly, as the things went on in college, I kind of just was like, you can't control what excites you really, sometimes. And I just was like gravitating more towards like acting and theater stuff. And then football, it was just a perfect cocktail of like my back started not working. And sometimes I wonder if my body was kind of like denying football, but you're there on scholarship. You're there on their time. So I have to show up every day, and I'm going to, as if you signed up for something, as I should. So I guess to answer your question, the decision kind of came really just finding a love for theater and a love for being in those moments.
Yeah,
And
it's
that's
amazing. It's like earlier on in the interview, like you said, like you had some actors, movies, and stuff that really kind of helped you, got you a good feeling as an actor and stuff. Like, what were those like actors or movies for you?
that the dog yelling.
Yeah, my dog's yeah.
He's trying to get out of the interview.
Yeah.
I don't know. I so like you're talking about like some of my influences of people coming up. Two big ones for me are Jim Carrey and Chris Farley. Growing up, those were I could watch both of those guys all day, every day. And both of them, it's interesting, both of them are extremely physical actors. They do a lot with their bodies. But I also think they're both underrated. I mean, yeah, Jim Carrey did has done some drama, which I think he's great. I mean, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind is an amazing movie, a dramatic movie. And Chris Farley actually has some really dramatic moments too. He's obviously got, but those two are probably my biggest, like, people that I would watch. Like, I mean, I could watch those movies day in and day out. Also Heath Ledger, because my sisters watched all the Heath Ledger movies growing up. So
oh, really?
I had to watch a lot of the stuff my sisters were watching, which I'm not mad at. They were good movies. And Heath Ledger, just like how freaking charming that guy is. So I was just like, wow, that's fun to watch. And then I'm trying to think of like specific movies, but there's a lot. I don't know. That's a good question. As far as like inspiring, Tommy Boy with Chris Farley, hilarious movie. The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Oh, The Mask is hilarious.
You like The Mask?
Yeah.
I watched it 7 times in one day.
Really?
Back when I was a kid. Yeah, I watched it. Also for the older generation, Gene Wilder. So like Willy Wonka and Young Frankenstein. Gene Wilder to me is just one of the all-time greats. I think everybody remembers, at least my generation, remembers when they saw The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, the Joker. And that was like, whether you're an acting person or not, you just saw that. You're like, what is this? Like, they took a cartoon thing and they made it real and gritty and grounded. That was huge. So, yeah, obviously a lot of male influences. I feel like I had some female influences as well. Those have come more recently, actually. I've been... a lot of like I've been blessed to get to work with some really cool actors and actresses that have just helped me blossom. So I'm sorry, I keep rambling on and not answering your question.
You're fine.
Okay.
It's like I wanted to ask you like this, like he's being stuck in my mind right now. Like, did you see that this rock movie? It's like a football movie. Like it's I forget what it's called. That used to be my favorite movie a couple years ago.
With The Rock, you said?
Yeah.
Was it the Gridiron Gang?
What was that?
The Gridiron Gang, where he's a coach?
No, the movie where he's like a QB in college, or
is it the Tooth Fairy one? Or
oh no, that's the one. He's the Tooth Fairy. Like he's a Tooth Fairy and he plays hockey. It's like a movie where he's a QB in college, and like his daughter shows up, and basically this. Out of nowhere, and his dad shows up and was like, "Hey, I'm your daughter. You know better."
Oh, I can't. I know exactly what movie. I actually never saw the movie, but I know what movie you're talking about. It's not Tooth Fairy. That's like Vin
Diesel. Yeah, that's a different movie. That's when he's like playing like hockey and stuff.
Right? Is it like Comeback something?
Yeah, Comeback. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Huh?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so, or something like that. I forget. I could look at it. Like, it used to be my favorite movie of all time a couple years ago. Yeah. So I was wondering if you saw the movie since it was based on football and stuff. So I was wondering.
I didn't see it, but I will give you a fun little anecdote about that. I got to work with The Rock fresh out of college on a show called Ballers. And we were talking, and he told me that he freaking tore his knee on that movie because he, like, tried to do his own. I think that's like that movie was like the last movie where he like really did a lot of his own. I mean, he still does a lot of his own stunts, but he like was feeling good because he used to play football, and he like he rolled out as a quarterback and like totally messed up his knee, and they had to pause the movie and get it fixed. So
Football. Like, what was that experience like working with The Rock? Because like I'm such a big, huge Rock fan, and like he's amazing, and I actually like that thing. I was like a month or two ago, like his new movie, they had a premiere in New York. While I was in New York, I saw the premiere.
Black Adam.
So like I was wondering, like, what was your kind of experience like working with them?
Amazing. I call him Papa. No, I'm just joking. he was Really amazing dude. It's like it almost like makes you mad. You're like, God, and he's nice. You're like, what does this guy not have? He was extremely, so I got to work with him, and then his company hired me to work on another show that they did, the one that's out now, Young Rock.
Well,
I was
Young
in the
Rock.
first season of that. I had a small part. He's an amazing guy. Talk about, like, when we were saying surrounding yourself by the best, like, totally humbled working next to him. He is just, talk about somebody who carries himself the way that, like, whether you're a guy, girl, whoever, you're just like, that's a man that knows what he's doing. I mean, he just commands presence. Obviously, he's a big guy, but just as who he is, and he's just very friendly and has a great team around him. And we were, weirdly enough, me and him actually had the same coach. So one of my coaches at USC was Coach Ed Ogeron, and The Rock, when he played football at Miami in the 90s, was coached by Ed Ogeron. So we had that, we got to connect on that regards. And I think it helped him, like, open up to me a little more, because he's like, oh, okay, we gotta. I'm sure he gets bombarded. He does get bombarded with people, I will tell you. He's a profession. He is like the professional of professionals. That guy is, talk about just like, I want to get to like even a quarter of what he's been able to do in his life. I mean, he just dominates everything he does. So.
Exactly. Are you still in contact with them, or are you like that's like you don't really talk to them?
Actually, I just missed a call from him. I gotta hop on it too. No, I'll just mess. I don't think anybody stays in contact with him like that. I got a few more things to do till I'm on that level. But it was cool that they remembered me from Ballers, to Young Rock. And I mean, I'm so super blessed for I think it's $7 Production is his production company. That they reached out to me, because I got to go to Australia in the middle of COVID, and that's an experience that I haven't had like any others. And get to work, traveling to work is just is an amazing thing. So The Rock, no, I don't have contact with him like that, but maybe one day I'll have him in my phone.
You may never know, man. You may never know. So, in terms of acting, you have reprised your role as the bodyguard in General Hospital. Like, did you ever kind of think you would make a kind of like a comeback to your role in that show?
No, I mean, no idea with General Hospital. I was, I shot a bunch of things for them, and then I just didn't hear from them for months. And I was like, okay, I guess he's done. And then, sure enough, I get a call and got to shoot a few more episodes with them. And that's been a fun. I love the General Hospital cast and that crew. I mean, they're just, it's a well-oiled machine. I mean, it's been around since 1963, I think, was the first episode. Which is crazy that anything is still on TV after being that long.
Yeah,
So
no.
get, you know, like getting the experience to be a part of something like that, you're like, whoa. And it, as an actor too, it's extremely good for training. Like, because everything's just fast. You're just moving, and you don't have time to really like think. You're like, oh, I want to do it like this. Like, no, you just go, and it's really good. It's really good training for any actor. So. Very, very, very thankful and humbled to have gotten the opportunity to work with General Hospital.
Like, did you like watch the show before like you appeared on it, or is it something you kind of watch like when like you kind of appeared on it?
Never watched. I mean, soaps, like my idea of soaps was like, oh my God, those things are so corny. And then once I got to work on it, I was supposed to be just a one day guy. I had no lines. You know, I didn't even. And we did the scene, and the producer Frank Valentini, I think his name, I can't think of his last name right now, but came up. He said, "Hey, we want to use you more." I said, "I don't believe you." And then, surely enough, they did. And now I've watched a lot more stuff. I mean, soaps, that people call them the stories. I've learned to like have a new love and affection, especially after watching some of these actors on there. They freaking. Kylie, oh my gosh, they have like pages and pages and pages that they do in a day, and you're just like, I was lucky. I'm the big brute, I get to come in with a few lines here and there. These guys are, they're pumping out dialogue and monologues, so it's very humbling. Again, I keep using that word humbling, because it's very real to me. Like, I keep thinking I'm good, and then I show up to places, so I'm like, whoa, oh, that's what being a good actor is. Okay. That's a very cool experience.
And so, like, you got to be featured in a music video called Hello Anxiety for Rolling the Soup, in which you had to do some dancing in the music video. Like, did you have to do like rehearsals for the dance scene or the music video itself?
Oh yeah. Me and Scotty Felix, my creative partner, and he's a director, and he also went to USC and played football as well. He's a year younger than me. That's part of our production company, and Bowling for Soup reached out to us to want to do another video, and so for that, we wanted to do the dance number at the end, and we're like, "Well, do we have any choreography?" And I had just got off a project where I was dancing. I was like, I got some moves we could maybe throw around." So, credit to Scott Felix, for and the boys in the line. We spent. Like we had a couple rehearsals of that and put it together. And me and Scott are not choreographers, but we played team sports. We know how to do drills. It's amazing how a lot of this stuff like can overlap. You know, you don't want to. I don't like to connect them so much, but there are a lot of things that go hand in hand with like training and prep and all these types of things. So when it comes to dancing, it's just like there's obviously free flowing movement and improv and stuff, which is another art form and fun to do, but for those things, it's like get in there, get these reps in. No, none of those guys are really that good at dancers, but we made it work. So I'm glad you liked
Yeah,
it.
and like, did you like do like a YouTube thing for like off Brad Pitt or something for Bowling the Soup?
Yeah, that was our first music video we did. It's titled "I Want to Be Brad Pitt," and is. Pretty funny because I just got off working on the movie that's called Babylon that's coming out soon. And I had some scenes with Brad Pitt, and then Scott got a call for a script for a song titled "I Want to Be Brad Pitt." And he was like, "I don't know about this." I was like, "Dude, it's pretty funny. Maybe we should just give it a try." And I'm glad we did. I love Bowling for Soup. I mean, those guys are part of my childhood nostalgia right there. I mean, 1985. Alone, they're forever in my hearts. So we were just excited to like. It's cool. Like, if you told me in freaking 2000 when I was a little kid, when it jammed into woo-hoo-hoo, that I was gonna be in a music video for these guys, like 20 years later, like I would be like, what? So the opportunity that we got to do two for them was just amazing. Those guys are really awesome. I love all of those guys for Bowling for Soup.
And like obviously like you did like a video for Brad Pitt, like kind of like what did like you said like you worked with Brad Pitt in your upcoming movie, like what was it kind of like working with Brad Pitt in like your role?
Freaking movie star, movies. I mean, that guy. Similar with The Rock, like the kind of presence that a guy like that has when he walks on. You're like, oh, okay, got it. You know, you just like you have all these things in your head. All the movie, we all have our connections with these people, and then when that guy walks on set, total professional, extremely nice. I do have to give a shout out though because I know that your podcast is part of Empowering Women and Margot Robbie. That woman to me is the most talented person I've been, and I don't say that lightly. And so, getting to watch her and Brad Pitt work—I mean, I felt like I was in a free workshop. Like I'm like, I feel like I'm back at school. I just feel like a little kid again. And so, Brad was amazing, but I do have to give my love to Margot Robbie because she is just, as well as she's obviously an amazing artist, but just like a very cool person and very humble and could hang out with us right here and just talk. Like she's just, I was so humbled and have learned so, like I learn a lot from being around people, like working and soaking them up. You know, I could obviously study and watch videos, but like when I get to be around it, so to watch a guy like Brad move and what he does on a take and how he comes back to a take, and he improvised lines during our thing, and I was, you know, luckily I was ready, but I was like, oh, you know, you just you don't know what's gonna happen. So, sorry, I'm getting all excited recalling some of these things.
Yeah, like Margot Robbie and Brad Pitt are seriously amazing. And I literally watch so many Brad Pitt movies basically weekly. That's absolutely crazy. And I love like my favorite movie of his is probably Moneyball. Moneyball is so amazing. Like that I watch that all every like when I see I'm like I need to watch this movie and like they both Margot Robbie and Brad Pitt are seriously amazing and like the way they do what they do as an actor And other things they do as well are seriously incredible.
For real. And those are, they both have done really cool sports movies. I mean, Moneyball was amazing. And then she did I, Tonya, which was, and it's like, it's cool. I like when sports movies are done right. And I think to do sports movies right, you need talented, good, like lead actors. And both of them are just, I mean, they're like The Rock. It's like, these people are just, the fact that I even got to like be around them is just crazy. So you can learn so much from just watching the best people move. You know,
Yeah, absolutely. So you just finished a new filming a new short film called The Flower That Never Withers, right?
Yes.
And what can like you kind of tell us so far about your role in the film?
I play a role of kind of that, like, kind of that guy you don't want to hear from in your day, but you need to, you know. Some people call it an agent, or just like that person in your life that's kind of on you, that you don't want to hear, but they're kind of right. The story was really cool. I got to do it with some friends. And I mean, when I'm not working and stuff, like short films, any opportunity to get in front of the camera is just a great one for me. So that was a really cool, production to be a part of in that story. You know, it's a story about artists, tortured artists, and, it's a period piece, which I like, you know, 70s. And I had the long hair and flow for that. My friend, it was funny too. It's kind of like people you see over the years. And like my friend TJ Shaw, who's the star of it, you know, asked me to do it. His brother, Chris Shaw, was a director. We got to work with Michael Bayling from All American, who's great. He's phenomenal. Trevor Hollander was the DP on that. Just getting together with other people that are trying to do this thing that we're all out here in this rat race. It's really fun. So that was a really cool experience. I also have to quickly give a shout out to our DP for Sunflower that works with Scott, Corey Gare. He is an extremely talented cameraman and has taught me, he's not just a cameraman, but he's extremely talented with a camera. He's a multifaceted man. And getting to be, again, back to this theme of like soaking up from people, getting to be around guys like that. I know I'm trailing off from your question, but I gave a shout out to all these people. I had to give a shout out to Corey Gare because he's a guy.
It's incredible. So like the final question I have for you is, what's some advice for people that are just kind of starting out as like an actor, football player, that kind of want to make it out as what they do?
Are you asking actor / football player, or actor or football player?
Either one.
Because like I get guys all the time that are football guys that are like, they see what I'm doing, they're like, hey man, how do I do that? It's like, it's not, it's like, dude, you don't even, like, I want to be an actor. It's like, do you? And it sounds harsh, I kind of do this with people, but like when they tell me they want to do acting or something, I say don't do it. I'm like, nope. Because if you really do, you will. And I just say that because I try not to be like phony and fake. Like, yeah, all you got to do is like take some classes and stuff. If people are genuinely interested, then, you know, which again, a lot of people just think they want to do it just because somebody, but like, it's very difficult. It's very emotionally taxing. Everything is, I'm not putting acting or stuff or football and that stuff above anything else, but it's like, you have to be willing to like really, really not feel good for many days sometimes, many weeks. Acting is being told no constantly. You're literally being told no. And they're telling no, it's you. It's not like no to your project that you made or no to this thing. It's like, no, it's like, we don't like your face for this. Like, and if you can just believe in what you're doing and continue to get better, I think, well, okay. So I'm sorry that I've just went off on these questions. I'm not doing a good job. The advice I would give is similar to the one about football against going against the best, is put yourself out there. You have to work it like a muscle, like put yourself in front of people, like you have to put yourself on the line, like sacrifice in a way, like there has to be something at stake, like perform for a crowd of people, perform online and post it. get feedback. Like something that scares you is what you should gravitate towards, dude, because on the other side of that fear is where you're going to flourish and get better as an actor. And, you know, acting, a coach once told me, like, hey man, if you want to get into acting, you better start, because it's way more competitive than football. He's not wrong. Acting, the entertainment world is extremely, there's just more people in it, you know, than football. Only so many people can play football, but everybody can technically do acting, right? And it's a little bit of a different mindset. Like football is like, you very much like train, you can beat someone, it's like there's results. Acting, you have to still train, you still have to, like, you're like, you're going against other people, but it's not like competitive. It's just like, you're only really, I guess you could say that in sports too, but you have to really have a good awareness about yourself and how to push yourself to be able to express what you want to express. And so much is changing now with social media and like the lines have been blurred with like acting, theater, film, television, and then like, what's it called? Influencers. And this, and so you, I think that for me, they're two different lanes, but people are very much muddied. Like, but I just want to be famous. Some people just want to be famous. And if that's all you want, I think you should go the influencer route. But if you want to like create art, if you want to like speak to yourself and people, then you should do acting.
Exactly. And like the entertainment industry, I literally thought like, oh my God, this is probably the easiest type of thing. Like, obviously growing up, I watched television nonstop. It was absolutely insane. And I'm sure it was for you as well. You watch entertainment a lot. And like, I like thought, I always had the dream to be in the entertainment industry, but I never thought until I actually became part of the industry that it was as hard as it was. Like, as hard, like, I thought it was kind of will be a little kind of easier. And in terms of like doing, I might seem a little crazy for that, but like,
no, I'm curious what made you realize it was hard? Like, what was like, oh, this is hard? Like, what was that moment for you?
Yeah. So like when I first started out as a, basically a journalist, I should say podcasting, I literally thought like kind of like set, like booking, like kind of say top tier celebrities, like Dwayne Johnson or Brad Pitt per se, or somebody like that. And it's like more like, I sent emails. I sent like many emails, and I won't get emails, like kind of get emails back, or they're always, oh no. And that's really, like you said, they're always more no's than yeses. Obviously, they're top tier celebrities. They might not be, they may be busy, obviously, because of their schedule, but like it's obviously like there's more no's than yes. And obviously, with my other work, there's more, it's very difficult to get as good as you want to be. Obviously, and obviously, as a person in the entertainment industry, you have to grow to become where you want to be. If you want to be like, let's say, Brad Pitt, you need to grow and kind of and see what he does to be as good as him. Obviously, you're not gonna be like him because obviously he's Brad Pitt. But obviously, if you want to be someone like Brad Pitt, you can watch his videos and train hard to be like him. Obviously, you can't be like the person they actually are.
Should we play the Bowling for Soup "I Want to Be Brad Pitt" song? should we reference?
Yeah, we should.
No, you're making a great point. It's like, it's good to have these references, but you got to be you. And you know, I applaud you for sticking with it and working on this podcast and these type of things. You just have to keep molding, keep trying, keep failing. I love that idea of like keep failing. And in an athlete world, that's not a thing. They're like, no, you don't fail, you win, you succeed. I think that's when you get better, is like you just keep failing, because then you just learn from it.
Exactly. Like you can't learn unless you fail, right?
What's that?
You can't learn unless you fail.
No, and it's I'm not saying you should like to fail, but you're never like, who the heck just like succeeds at everything? And it might feel like Brad Pitt and The Rock do. I promise you that they've had some things. Like, I love that thing about, I think Lionel Messi, you know, Messi, the soccer player, he said it took me 10 years to become an overnight success. And I love that quote, because it's like so many people just see the end result, but nobody sees those times, those times. And you're like, am I even worth this? Like, can I even do this? Like, what am I doing? You know, like those really emotional times or those challenging times, people aren't going to see it. And they'll see you at the end and say, oh man, you came out of nowhere. And it's like, yeah, tell me that, you know, 8 years ago when I was starting this podcast and nobody was responding to, you know, or whatever it is for you. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Same to you as well. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was so great speaking with you. You're sister, you're amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. And it means so much to have you on. And we'll definitely talk soon. Thank you so much for coming
on. Riley, thank you very much. Good luck with everything and enjoy the holidays.
Same to you as well. Talk to you soon. Bye.